And he was out, his coming in and out, and he said, "I need a piece of paper, pencil." So I got it for him. I said, "What do you need?" And he was writing and writing and writing. I said, and of course he couldn't write. And I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Yeah, I need 14 feet of copper, and I need hooks, and I need elbows, and blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Okay, I've got it all down." I said, "Now, what do you need?" And he said, "Oh, wait, 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 wait." And he looked up, and he said, "Oh, God, please, please help me get this stuff ready and help me get this job done. I need to take care of my baby." He said, "Please let me make this job." And I thought, he is out of his head, and he don't know what he's doing, and he's praying to God because he knows out of his head that's his strength. And he knows God's going to take care of me. So I got him all settled down and made the list and patted him. And in a minute, I started telling him those glorious lies you've ever heard in your life. I mean, they were just coming out. And I had a little baby sitting over there, and I was saying, you know, "Hey, I just sold the business. You know, guys coming, this is done." And I said, "Oh, it's great." And they come and they help. I just told him this long list of lies, and he like turned over and sleep. She said, "No wonder you're my sponsor. I've never seen anybody come up that many lies that quick ever in my life." But he was relying on the steps to the very, I mean, just to the last get-go. And we were talking about this, and golly, let me tell you. Some people said, "Thank you so much for coming and doing all this. I know you're tired and blah, blah, blah." Let me tell you something. This is such an honor and such a privilege to come and do this stuff. I never want to forget that it's an honor and a privilege to be here, that you even think I have anything to say. Every time I walk into this room, a room like this, I think, "Oh, God, please let somebody show up." And I mean that sincerely. Because I've had a plane ticket here. Lynette and this committee has worked real hard. I said, "God, please let somebody be there." I have this terror. And when you show up, I can't tell you what an honor and privilege it is that you want to sit here all day long on a Saturday and listen to my stuff. And it's incredible to me. And because during this time, the last several years that I've had been in the pits, and I'm telling you, I'm through the tunnel. I'm up on the other side. And one of my girls just told me the other day, she said, "God, you're back. I'm so glad to see you back." Because, you know, that grieving's heavy-duty stuff. And so, I'm in all this stuff, and these people come from all over the country. Jim touched so many people's lives. And the phone rang constantly. I wish I'd kept all the cards. We tried to figure out one time, there was more than 1,000 cards. People came every single weekend, every single day. They were bringing him meetings. It was just absolutely incredible. And one of the things that I said to him is, "You know, you may have lost the business, all that stuff. You know I'm going to be all right. But let's look at the heritage that you've left here. Look at the people who are coming. Look at the eternal life that you've left. Your legacy of sponsorship that you have left is awesome. That's what I'm going to receive, is this stuff." And people coming and helping him was awesome. Helping me. They buried my husband for me. They gave me plane tickets to take him back here and there, and people showed up. We had to have 3 services, one in Palm Springs, one in Oklahoma, and one in California for this man. Because he lived this program and because he lived and believed in the 11th step. It was awesome. And I was being taken care of all the time, being nurtured. The people I sponsored came. After he died, a whole carload of them came and they packed everything. I have no idea what's in storage. I mean, it was just packed and put away. Those same people, anytime I'm ready, are standing on get-go to come and get all that stuff and bring me back home to Texas, which I... which we're waiting to see. I don't know. If Jim had not lived this, we couldn't have experienced it. And the miracles that came from the power of the 11th step and him living it just never stopped. I'm going to tell you about one quickly. We had a nurse, a hospice nurse, and she was taking care of Jim. She came in and she seen all this stuff. She was just amazed at all this stuff and all these people that's coming around. Susan's husband, Dave, and another guy had a big book study planned, and Jim went back every year and did it for those guys, and it was time for it to happen. And they wanted Jim to come back as sick as he was, and I said, okay. So I got on the phone, and man, I mean, it took me 2 days to get oxygen, to get all this equipment, to get hospice in Oklahoma where he was going to be, to get a Jimmy Toon's bus to pick him up and travel us in the portable oxygen tank, and it was really going to be. And this little nurse was there, and she says, what is this? What is this? You know, what is this? And I said, well, it needs to go back. And he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and I knew he couldn't make the trip. So she came over this morning. I said, you got to tell me. You got to help me with this man. And she said to him, Jim, I don't think that you can make this trip back. I don't think you can physically do it. And he turned to her, and he turned to me, and he slammed his hand down. And he said, Vinoy, you don't understand. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. And those men back there are expecting me to be there, and I told them I'd be there, and by God, I'm going. And he turned to this nurse, and he said, you don't understand. I got to go. And she said, okay. And so we made all the plans. The next day, she came, and she put her thing, her little book. She said, okay, I'm through with this. Now I need to talk to you, both of you. She looked at Jim and she said, Jim, there's something going on in your life that I need. My husband told me last night that he's an alcoholic and he can't stop drinking. Jim lit up like a Christmas tree. He come up, he started shining. He says, you bet. He got on the phone, he called some guys. I mean, that poor old sucker didn't know what hit him. They had his first AA meeting at my house that night. Jim's last 12-step call on the nurse who took care of him. The day come for him to go, and I said, he can't go. Dave and Calvin argued with me till they were blue in the face. And I said, they were just having a fit. And I said, finally, this is what stopped them. I said, Jim asked me to preserve his dignity, and if he got to a place that he couldn't be dignified, please protect him. I said, he's at that place, and y'all got to know that I would bring him if I could. I can't. And sure enough, that day he got real sick, and we put him in. He went on to heaven. It's not a sad story, it's a glorious story. Jim's through. He was so excited about seeing God. He was really excited, and he was happy, and he was content, and knew that he was going to be all right. The only thing that was bothering him was the place that he was leaving me in, which I'm fine. Yes.
I just want to share with you that Jim's with my daughter met me for the first time. Here's your phone number and your message.
That's true. This girl's from Washington, D.C., right? Her daughter met me at the wake. And I don't know what a wake is, but whatever, in Palm Springs, right? Yeah, we called it the viewing. We all looked at him and said, oh, isn't it sad? And he was so cute. He had his little... I put my favorite night shirt on him was pink and blue and white checked. He would have a fit if he knew that everybody was looking at him in that cute little thing. She was there and went back and talked to this lady here. And she called me, and I had some people in Washington, D.C., and she hooked up with them. And she loved this program so much that this year she has moved from Washington, D.C. to Dallas, Texas, just to be around y'all. Now, I don't know if that means y'all are sick as she is. But that's right. Yeah, and that's just one instance of a lot of things. So it was a glorious thing. A lot of, you know, things that you can't go on. His legacy has been that he has left the 12th step. He has left the 12th step with so many people. How shinier and how more beautiful can you get? How can this program do any more for you than that? It's awesome to me. And here we are on Saturday, and we're not up the street with two black eyes and a busted lip and the kids hiding in the closet. We're here. Our rear ends are tired. Our heads have hurt so much we can't put it all together. My throat's going, but it is worth it. I ain't out there in the sickness. I'm here with y'all. I'm protected and I'm cared for and I'm going to be all right. The 12th step, like I said, is what he left the legacy. And in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Jim read this all the time. I love the 10th step in there because it says a spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And he read that and decided he'd ask me to marry him. So that's my favorite. He read pages 84, 85, and 87 every morning. He read all that, and then he would read Upon Awakening, page 86. He read that to the end every day of his life. He told everybody he's sponsored to do that, 10 and 11, and he told them to get in action. One of the things that he did, he sponsored a lot of people, and it spread all over the country. That is the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And that's what we're all about today, is a result of these steps. We carry the message in whatever way that we can. Carrying the message comes in all different forms. Somebody asked me about my little buddy in Norman, Oklahoma, who was not wrapped too tight. Big, tall, bone ugly woman. Oh, I mean, taller and bigger than me. And when she is new and she'd come in, she would hug you and you would absolutely disappear. And she was not mentally retarded, but she was almost. And she lived with a practicing alcoholic. And she just loved what she found in Al-Anon. She thought it was fantastic. And what I did with new people is, why don't you clean up the ashtrays and straighten the chairs up? And, you know, for the first 30 or 40 days, that's what they did. Made them feel a part of, because that's what I was told. Why don't you wash these cups? I loved washing the cups because it looked like I belonged there and didn't have to talk to anybody. And I loved washing those cups. So I asked her to do that, and she did. Now, her job was working at the university in the cafeteria, and she got a salad out of the refrigerator and put it over here in line as the kids come through the cafeteria. That was her job for like 15 years or something like that, I think. And that was her job. She got the salads and she did this. We picked her up and brought her back. She asked, finally asked me to sponsor her. And we had different people picking her up and taking her home. And I realized that she had more sense than what it looked like, so I got her to get driver's license lessons. So she got driving lessons. And eventually she saved up and got a car. And her little husband was still drunk all this time. And then after a bit, she got a raise. And then a promotion. She was so excited. She came to me one night and they had promoted her to the hot foods. She got to get the hot food and it was a bigger deal. And she got a little quarter raise. Thrilled to death. I said to her once after like a year, her still picking, I said, you know, you don't have to do the cups anymore. I got some new people and they need to do that. She turned and looked at me and she said, you know, I don't have the gift that you and some of the other people do. I can't talk and I can't sponsor and I can't do a lot of things, but I can wash these ashtrays and put up these chairs. Can I do that? Can that be mine? Well, what do you think I said? Of course. Her little husband died drunk. I was back in Oklahoma not too long ago and I ran into Jeannie. She kind of disappeared out of my life, but she was still doing that, still going to meetings. Another little group, our group, you know, how they folded and reappeared and all that stuff. And I saw her, and I said, well, how are you? She looked great. She called me when her husband died. We had a long talk, and then I saw her here, and I said, how are you doing? She said, you know what? I'm in school at OU. Boy, I'll tell you, that touches you. That fixes me. And that's what we're all about here, is our gift in the 12 step. Practice these principles in all affairs and share them. I don't know how your gift is. Everybody has a gift and they're not all the same. And we come together and we do this. And I believe it's all about this. The fifth tradition of Al-Anon. Each group has but one purpose. It's to help the families of alcoholics. That's my purpose, is to come in here and help the families of alcoholics. And I do that by what? Working the 12 steps of AA and trying to understand the alcoholic. Oh, that's a trip. My 12 step today I've had a spiritual experience of working these steps, and that's why I'm here today, is the gratitude you've given me and what you've shown me to do. I'm going to close with this story because I close with every time. It's Bob White's story about the princess. Bob White was an old-timer. He had 30-something years when he died, and he was a mentor to many of us. And he talked this morning at a conference that Jim started, and he was the first speaker, Canyon Conference over in Oklahoma. And Bob was the first speaker, and he made this talk, and shortly thereafter we found out he had cancer, and he died. So it was his last talk. And he said that morning, we say the Lord's Prayer after every meeting. I say to you today, pray the prayer, don't just say it. And listen to what the prayer says. It says, Our Father, and then it says, the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. If there's a kingdom and that prayer starts off with Our Father, obviously, we're the child of God. And there's a kingdom. So that makes me and you a prince and a princess of the kingdom. And the power is in these rooms, in these meetings, and we do that for each other. And of course, the glory is God. I say to you, said Bob, claim your heritage today. Become a child of the king. Act like a princess and a prince. Treat each other like a princess and a prince. And I did. That day, it was like another little click, another piece of the puzzle to my self-worth. I know my purpose today. I'm a child of the king. I am Princess Vinoy. And I claim it. That's my heritage that y'all have given me. And I am eternally, eternally, eternally grateful to all of you. And thank you for being so great and so gracious and sitting all day through this. Thank you.